by a mob that had broken into their house and shot the grandfather dead just because they were Christian. The family had huddled in the bedroom, talking in whispers with their backs pressed against the door as the mob taunted them. They said, "If you come out, we'll kill you," said Ikhlak Mohammed, 22, who escaped. Among the dead were two children, Musa, 6, and Yumeya, 13. The article described a rampage by a crowd of 20,000 Muslims that lasted 8 hours in Gojra, Pakistan, where Christians represent less than 5% of the population. In addition to the murdered members of the Hamid family, 20 Christians were wounded, and the mob burned and looted 100 Christian homes, in some cases also wiping out the family's livelihood. Why? The day before, Christians at a wedding party in a nearby village were accused of burning a Quran. Officials who looked into the accusation said the charges were false, but local religious leaders used the news to rally Muslims against the local Christian minority. The Hamids, a Christian family, weren't involved in any of that. They were just eating breakfast in their home as the mob gathered nearby. When the grandfather opened the door to see what all the noise was for, the crowd of Muslims rushed inside. The Hamids tried to take refuge in a back room as the mob entered their house and looted it before setting it on fire. The spirit moves in me. I couldn't believe what I was reading. Often the mistreatment of Christians goes unreported in the national media, but this story was in the New York Times. I searched other newspapers for additional information and learned that apparently Pakistani police had stood by while the carnage went on. A comment by one of the survivors moved me the most. He said he wouldn't retaliate because the Bible taught him to pray that his enemies would see the light. I began to pray for the Christians in Pakistan, but as I prayed, I found myself weeping and I had to turn my face toward the wall. I was concerned others in the cafe would see my tears and wonder what was wrong. What a tragedy! I couldn't imagine the suffering those people were going through because of their faith in Jesus. I felt such a bond with them, those brothers and sisters whom I didn't know personally, but would one day spend eternity with. Like Mr. Hamid, I am a Christian and a grandfather, but that's where the similarities end. I have never opened my door to an angry mob and tried to protect my family from looters. I've never watched my family die while trying to escape the flames of our burning house. I've never suffered physical violence because of my devotion to Christ. I could only try to imagine how those circumstances would test their faith, or my faith. Here in America, we believers may feel like our faith is being tested by something as silly as a traffic jam or a car that won't start. The truth is, we're all spoiled, including me. I had so much and they had so little. Our lives and experiences were worlds apart, and yet I now felt such a burden to help them. But how? I didn't know anyone in Pakistan. I was just a simple man eating lunch alone in a Long Island cafe. The Holy Spirit had stirred my heart in an unusual way, and I couldn't cease praying for them. Lord, be with your people. Help them to find food, work, a roof over their heads, and a bed where they can rest. Comfort them in their grief. Protect them. Guard their minds. Don't let them lose faith because of the violence committed against them. I prayed until I didn't know what else to pray. When I finished, I felt as if I'd done what I could, yet their tragedy remained in my heart like a weight. For the rest of that Monday and most of the next day, I went about my business, but my mind frequently returned to those people, and each time it did, I interceded in prayer for them. One man had sold grain from a cart, but the mob had burned it along with a chest for his daughter's dowry. Where would he find work now that the tools of his trade were gone? Families were suddenly homeless and